The scripture for today is Psalm 146, 1 through 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. In 1951, American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr wrote a book attempting to process the events of World War II. And the name of that book is called Christ and Culture. It was a book trying to figure out where should we think about where Jesus is located in relation to the culture around us. So he laid out all these different options. He said maybe we should think about Christ as someone who is against culture. And so it was this image of maybe a warrior against secularism, against paganism. He said, nah, that's not gonna work. Maybe it's a Christ of culture. And so this image of Jesus who's this always this ambassador, this connoisseur of new and innovative ideas. That doesn't really work. Then he also talks about maybe it's Christ above culture. We should envision Jesus always above culture, calling us to ways in ways of doing things that are higher than we currently settle for. Maybe it's Christ and culture are in paradox with each other. Maybe that's what we should think about. They're always sort of like at odds with each other. And so Jesus is always critiquing us and correcting us and trying to move us away from something different. Or maybe it's Christ transforming culture. Obviously, at the end of the book, that's the one that he really digs deep in. He says, I believe where we ought to position Jesus, where we ought to locate Jesus in this world is within culture, transforming it, saving it, redeeming it from the inside out. I think the reason why Reinhold Niebuhr wrote that book is because Niebuhr is trying to do what each and every single one of us are trying to do. Trying desperately to figure out how can we be in this world, but not of it. Maybe you've heard this scripture before. It comes from John chapter 17. Jesus says, my followers are to be people who are in the world, but not of the world. So for centuries, Christians have been wrestling with this. We've been trying forever to try to figure out what in the world Jesus means by this. Do I get involved in this or not? Do I get engaged in this or not? And I think it is almost always human nature that in response to all of this wrestling, humanity suffers from what I like to call dual ditch syndrome. We like the crazy convenience of being in one extreme or the other. However, we tend to fall into a couple of different ditches on both sides of the road when we run from one extreme to the other. In the case of this conversation on faith and politics, I think the exact same thing could be said. Whenever we as Christians are called to sort of figure out how we engage with political matters, social matters, there are two ditches that we are always very tempted to fall in. The one is one where we become too obsessed, too preoccupied with the current political situation of the day. We become too obsessed with some platform, some candidate, some political party. The other is another overcorrection, is to, in response to all of the vitriol, in response to all of the nastiness, completely check out. This is too messy. I don't want to get involved. I'm out. And if there was ever a time, if there was ever a time in our country's history where both of those options might be incredibly appealing, it is right now. It is right now. Again, in response to all the nastiness that has sort of gone on both sides, across the aisle, at both sides, if you are anything like me, I have found myself jumping from ditch to ditch, either being so obsessed and concerned by it, I can't stop looking at the news, I can't stop looking at my Facebook news feed, or I say, to heck with all of it, I'm going to throw my phone away and move somewhere else. However, I believe neither of those responses are truly helpful. I would also go so far as to say that neither of those responses are truly Christian. Because some way, somehow, we've got to figure out how to be in this world, but not of it. And so that's the conversation I want to have today. If you were not with us last week, where we began this whole conversation on faith and politics, as we began with an initial conversation on ourselves, checking ourselves, God, how do I make sure that in this whole realm of politics, I'm not conforming Jesus to my views instead of allowing Jesus to reform my views? Today, I want to pick up that conversation after we've checked ourselves and we're engaging in this process, in these larger conversations on political and social matters. I want to attempt to answer the question, how might we engage these things so that we can be in the world but not of the world? How can we engage these things in a way where Christ might actually be able to transform the world? Back to Niebuhr's point. Through us. Through us. So, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, you can flip with me back to our scripture for today. Again, I mentioned that on our app, you can actually access each sermon, and you can access sermon notes, and you can take notes on there, and you can also find the scripture there listed as well, if that's helpful to you. But as you heard a couple moments ago, our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Psalms. And if you are sort of like a new to reading the Bible, new to reading scripture, the book of Psalms are a collection of poems, songs, and prayers written by King David and a whole host of other authors, ranging from a whole sort of swath of the chronology of the Old Testament. So some were written while King David was before he was king, some was written while he was king, and some were written long after that while the people of Israel were in exile. So it's written sort of all over the place. There's 150 of them. And what some scholars have done is they've taken all of the Psalms and they've found it helpful to categorize them, to put them into genres, kind of like we do with music, put them in different genres. There are Psalms of guidance, prayers asking for God's guidance and direction in their life. There are Psalms of intervention. God, I desperately need you to intervene in this situation. There are Psalms of thanksgiving, giving praise to God and giving worship to God. But you want to know what the most of the Psalms are categorized as in Scripture? Lament. The majority of the Psalms written in Scripture are prayers of lament. Prayers of people who are grieving, who are sadness, who are mourning the situations they find themselves in. And what's so fitting about our psalm for today is that given the week that we've had, it can be read either way. This psalm can be read as a psalm of thanksgiving for you, maybe, or it can be read as a psalm of lament for you, for us. And so taking a closer look at it, this is what the psalmist writes. begins this prayer, begins this communal prayer, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God. For do not put trust in princes or in mortals, in whom there is no help. Instead, happier are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who executes justice and feeds the hungry, the one who sets the prisoner free, the one who lifts up the lowly, the one who watches over the stranger, the one who upholds the orphan and the widow. Yes, this Lord will reign forever. Praise the Lord. I think one of the things that the author of this psalm, who we don't know who the author of this psalm is attempting to do for the people of God is, on the one hand, I do think the author is trying to relocate our hope, relocate who we trust, relocate who ultimately is in possession of our peace and our confidence. But I also think simultaneously, kind of subversively, the author is also saying the reason our hope ought to only be in God, the God of Jacob, the God of our salvation, is because God and earthly rulers are looking for completely different things. Their cares and concerns are in completely different directions. The ways in which their kingdoms operate are completely different. They are operating from, maybe a better way to put it, completely different platforms. We read, it goes on to say, and I just sort of recounted it, God's platform is one who's concerned with justice, one who wants to feed the hungry, one that wants to try to uplift the lowly, one that watches over strangers, one that works for the good of all instead of only a select few. In fact, this is part of how I understand Jesus' incarnation. Part of a helpful way to understand Jesus' incarnation is that it was not only an incarnation, but it was an inauguration of the reign of God on earth. With the birth of Jesus, installed a completely different way of doing things, a new way of ordering the society, a new platform than those that are only concerned with power and greed. One might even say that part of what Jesus came to do on this earth was install a kingdom party. Which means, and this may come as a shock to many of us, when you and I decide to be followers of Jesus, when you and I respond to the call that is placed upon our lives to get up and to follow wherever Jesus is calling us to do, friends, when you and I do that, you are fundamentally realigned, reassigned to a different party. You are realigned with God's views. You are realigned with God's platform. You are realigned with God's way of seeing the world. And what that means is that you can no longer hold primary allegiance to any one group or any one party. And the reason for that is because if you are someone who maybe leans a little bit conservative, there are absolutely going to be moments when you trying to be follower of Jesus, trying to be faithful to Jesus, is going to make you look liberal. Simultaneously, if you're someone here this morning who leans liberal, there are absolutely going to be moments where you trying to be faithful to Jesus, you trying to be faithful to the cause of the kingdom, is going to make you look conservative. You will let both of them down. And that's the whole point. There are going to be moments where you look right, you look left, you look red, you look blue, and there's going to be moments where people don't know what the heck you are. But that's part of what it means to be part of the kingdom party. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, a conservative buddy of mine, who said, dude, I don't know about you, but this whole political conversation that we find ourselves in has me so weary because I feel like the decision I have to make is I have to either be on this side or on this side. There's no other option. I have to be this side or this side. I have to be all in with them or all in with them. He said, and I can't say this to many other people, but I'll say this to you because you're my friend, but if I can be honest with you this morning, sometimes I feel like neither and sometimes I feel like both. He said, primary example for me, he said, Whenever we talk about refugees, whenever we talk about people who are displaced, running and fleeing from violence, I absolutely look liberal. He said, I feel like in my heart, part of what I've resolved is I need to be someone who welcomes the stranger, because if I welcome the stranger, I am welcoming the person of Jesus. He said, but then, at the same time, when it comes to financial stuff, fiscal stuff, I absolutely lean conservative. I feel like, in my views, we need to be good stewards, we need to be responsible stewards of what we've been given, we need to live within our means, and so fiscally, I absolutely lean right. And friends, part of what made that conversation so refreshing to me is because I am desperately searching for a conversation that is more creative than simply, are you pro this or anti this? No, I don't want to hear anything else. Are you for this or are you against that? With that conversation, I have found myself weary. I have found myself ridiculously dissatisfied. And when people ask me, half the time I just want to say, it depends. Is it okay to say, it depends? It depends on the person, depends on the situation, depends on the context in which we are talking about this larger conversation. I don't want to make universal rules for every single person across all of time, in all lands, in all contexts, because I don't know them. And I don't know what they're going through. And I'm willing to bet that I am not the only one that feels this way. I'm willing to bet through the conversations that I've had with many of you, all of us are starving for a conversation that is not dualistic anymore, that's not binary anymore, that says it's black and white, it's right and wrong, there's no room for gray. Because if we're honest with ourselves, that sort of thing might be fine and good in theory, but it does not accurately represent the worlds that you and I live in. You and I live in the midst of complicated situations. We live in the midst of very complex relationships. And so what we need is a conversation that makes room for that. Doesn't excuse anything, just makes room for that. And moreover, I'm willing to bet it's not even just a conversation that people in the church want to have. It's not just something that the church is desperately longing for, but our country is longing for this. Did you know that right now, we have the highest amongst registered voters, that we have the highest amount of independent people that we've ever had in our country's history? Last time I checked, it was 26% Republican, 30% Democrat, and 44% independent. 44. It's almost as if everyone, even outside of these walls, is begging for a different conversation, begging for different options that take into account real people. And who better to lead that conversation than you and me? Who better to lead that conversation than the church, the people of God, the people who claim to worship the person who is actually the living opposition to dualism? Jesus is both and. He's human and God. He's secular and sacred. He is human and divine. Jesus dismantles a dualistic way of seeing the world that says it's either right or wrong, black and white, dismantles that and calls us into a third way, calls us into an entirely different way, calls us to him, for he is the way. Which leads to how I want to close this morning. There is one more poll that I want to share with you this morning. CNN did an exit poll last Tuesday on Election Day amongst folks who came out to vote and asked them, how would you feel if Trump or Hillary won? How would you feel? And the folks were given four options. They could say excited, optimistic, concerned, or scared. well over half, it wasn't even close, well over half of everyone who responded to that poll said they were either concerned or scared. Well over half, not even close. And I think what that says to me, what that said to me in the moment when I read it, is that when you and I got out of bed this morning, and we came to church, and we came to church to say, no matter what's going on in this world around me, Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my King. I think we meant it in a way we've never meant it before. There are a lot of people who may have felt very, very strongly that this was exactly, they were voting for exactly who they were confident in. But I think it is safe to say that many of us in this room and many of us outside of this room, many people in our country were not sure. We're not completely bought in. We're not completely sold out to one person or the other. You may have felt more confident between this person and that person, but I think it is safe to say that many people in our country went to the polls on Tuesday not 100% confident. And so when we woke up and walked in this morning, when we said Jesus was King, I think we believed it in a way we haven't believed it before. I think all of us, all over the place, came in here this morning saying, I don't know what is going on outside of these walls, but what I do know is Jesus is the only one who holds my hope. Jesus is the only one that I'm 100% confident in this moment. And so friends, what I think that means for us is that with this election, with this season, comes an incredible opportunity. Comes an incredible opportunity for the church to rededicate our lives and recommit our allegiance to Jesus and to Jesus alone. To be people who recommit ourselves and re-advocate for the people and for the things that Jesus has taught us to value. To recommit ourselves to be people who create the type of society, not wait on someone else to create it, not wait on someone else to build it, but to be people who are ambassadors and people who are building the type of society, the type of kingdom that Jesus has already begun. Friends, I think no matter where you are, what this season provides for us is an opportunity for us to rededicate ourselves to a kingdom party. Because that's where we belong. Let's pray together. Jesus, we won't get it perfect. We will make mistakes, but we will try to be in this world and not of it. We can make that promise. We can make that commitment. And so what we ask of you is that you would help us in a world that so desperately needs it. Give us wisdom and show us where you're calling us. Showing us how we need to align ourselves, who we need to be caring for. And in the midst of a country that is so deeply divided, may again we be instruments of your mending power, your healing power, your unifying power, and a call to unity under an entirely different way of thinking and a different way of living. A way that looks a lot like you. We commit ourselves to you this day. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.